We have quite a few young people here with us, and we're very pleased because today I believe you can relate to the topic that we have prepared for this. But those of you that are above 35, remember, if you are a candidate to eternity, you are just a kid. So let's enjoy the hope that we have, make us all children of God. So in all the work you are doing, work the best you can. Effort, effort, commitment. We put the title for the message this Sabbath, Do's and Don'ts. Most of the time, people have a problem with the don'ts and with the do's. And people don't like to be told what to do. And we live in a day and age, according to what God predicted, as we come closer to the end, people will be more defiant and less willing to listen to directions. I don't know if you have a spouse that you say, honey, it's that way. No, no, it's this way. And you get it nowhere. We have those things in life. Sometimes we have people that are overcommitted to do always their way. So they have problems with the do's and the don'ts. But I'd like to say this to you. If you do have a problem with restrictions, please take care of that right away. Because in the kingdom, no one that will enter the kingdom had to have the spirit of rebellion. Rebel people will not make into the kingdom. So get ready right now. Work as if you were doing it for the Lord, not for people. Have your commitment to the one who is above all of us. And people around you will be blessed with that level of commitment. So today's message, as we mentioned, the do's and, of course, the don'ts. Actually, many people will probably give a different title for this message. As we go along, you may say why I said this. Now, in Matthew 25, 14 to 30, talks about a parable. This parable was told right after the virgin's parable also. Has one intent, is to tell us to be prepared for the kingdom. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. I'm going to read quickly, and then we go to the details. And to one of them he gave 5 talents, and to another one he gave 2, and to another one he gave only 1. And here is a point that you must pay attention to. Mark this in your Bible, because this is the heart of the whole matter. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. And it continued by saying, verse 16, I'm reading Matthew 25, now verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Verse 17, and likewise he who had received 2 did the same thing, went and got 2 more. Verse 18, but he who had received 1, he went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his Lord's money. By the way, folks, I will leave the comments for later, but here just a pause. If you have money and you dig a hole in your backyard, is a bad idea, okay? After a long time, the Lord of those servants came. And by the way, the Lord will come. That is a sure thing. So no matter what you choose to put in your heart, one thing is for sure. You cannot control the fact that the Lord is coming. After a long time, pay attention to this observation because it's very key. He says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts. Accountability is always. I don't know how many of you here have a background in accounting. I used to work as an accountant. And the end of the year, there was a time when we had to do, figure out where did all the money went and all the bills, and give all those details because we need to close the books. And if sometimes because one little amount of money, we stay hours and hours trying to find out where in the world this went. And finally, we had to close the books. And when we got all match all the numbers, finally, whew, what a relief. And then the beginning of a new year. So he went, it says, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained another 5. Same thing with his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. By the way, everyone who's going to make it to heaven will hear this. This is what the Lord has reserved to say to each one of us that will make it. Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful in over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then it continues. Verse 22, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2. Here, look, I gained 2 more. And gave to the Lord. Verse 23, his Lord said to him, again, notice that he said exactly the same thing to this one too. Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Precise the same words. Verse 24, then he who had received only 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were such a bad guy. You're such a mean Lord. You're such a bad boss. You always try to push me down. Do whatever. I was scared to death about you. So what did I do? I just dug a hole and I put your money there. Here is what is yours. And I was afraid, he said. And it went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I, and the Lord here is not agreeing with him. He says, he's just repeating what he said. According to your own thinking, you said that I can harvest even what I don't have not planted if I am able to do this. Why did you do this? So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back with our own interest. Remember in the beginning when it says, he left for a long time. Every year there is inflation. And if you do not invest your money, the inflation will eat your money little by little to the point that it becomes nothing. So what the Lord is telling here, if you have put the money with the bank, at least would have been protected against inflation. And you would have returned to me exactly what I gave to you if you only have done this. But not even that he did. Verse 28, so take the talent from him and give to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And finally, the verse, the consequence, and cast them out. You cannot be in the presence of God with that kind of spirit. And it says he was thrown into darkness. Now let's talk about equal abilities. Verse 15 said, God gave to each one according to their abilities. When I first read this parable, I was very young, and I felt that some kind of unfairness. Why God is so tough with this guy that he got only one? He had none to spare. He had only one. So I thought maybe God is not being fair to this individual. Until I found that verse 15 when it says, everyone was given according to their abilities. God does not want a single of his child to fail. So what God's expectations is based on our ability to fulfill those expectations, not on God's abilities, but on our own. So no one has the excuse to fail. No one. Everyone can say, I am able. Can you say with me? I am able. I am able. Say it. I am able. Believe, and that will enable you. That will make you able. A concept, equal abilities, is a concept that every person possesses the same fundamental potential or capacity to learn, to grow, and to succeed. It does not mean everyone has the same skills or talents. It suggests that everyone has the capability or capacity to develop and improve through individual resolve and opportunity. Commitment. Commitment is the word. Human capacities. No, capabilities, I'm sorry. Human capabilities. Intellectual, which makes us rational. Physical and spiritual. They represent distinct and important aspects of our potential as a human being. This is what makes us very distinct than animals or anything else. We have those three capabilities. Developing these abilities can lead to a more accomplished life. Sometimes people have things in a talent in their hands, and they keep asking, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? Instead of just trying and try to figure it out. I don't like to read manuals when I get something to put together. And I'll tell you, not because I'm lazy in that sense, but because I like that if I try first and I learn, it will be easy for me to retain all that knowledge than if I just follow what somebody else has put. Sometimes when you read something, anything that you read, a Bible text, paraphrase it after you read, because you give your brain a much greater chance to keep that inside of you. And later on, it comes out almost like as yours already. So own it. But in order to do that, you have to do it something more to it. It says life fostering personal growth and greater health, even health, and a deep connection with God, also to oneself and, of course, to the world around you. That's what God made you able for you to connect. Connect with him, connect with your own personal needs and to those around you. His spiritual abilities, this ability brings meaning, also purpose, and a sense of something greater than oneself. That's why it's so important. Now, how do you define talent? Ability or skill that one possesses, be a natural ability or a predisposition towards excelling in a particular area, such as music, art, sports, and academics. Talents are often discovered early in life and can be developed further through practice and training. Now, all of us here, some of us here like music. I had a church member once that he really liked to sing. And people kept tell him some things that was not true. And the more they told him that he was such a great singer, the more he was in front of the church to sing. That was not his talent. But he did. He would come in front and taught us patience. Patience. But he was lied to, and he lied to himself. We need it when we know our limitations. There are do's and don'ts. There are things in life that we have the ability to, and there are things that we know that this is not for me. Let me apply my energy to something else that I can succeed with. There's nothing wrong about that. We are all different. Like the Bible says, like the body has many parts, but each one has its unique function. Talents are often described as a natural inclination or gift that individuals are born with. They represent a person's potential for exceptional performance in a specific area. I already shared this with you. When I was in the third grade, one classmate during the teacher stepped outside, and so this he ran to the blackboard and he started making a picture of a Mickey Mouse from the Disney. And my big mouth, I said from my place, I said, "Oh, it's not that great." And he said this, like boys do, he says, "Why don't you come and do better?" And I went. I had no idea why. I think my ego was so big. I went. And brothers and sisters, I had no idea until that day that I have some inclinations to draw. I have no idea, and I did. And from that point on, I realized I had this, interest, let me put it that way, to draw. I could see things and make it large and everything else. Those things happen to all of us. Sometimes we don't pay attention to it, but we should. You have natural skills. You just have to find them. And when you find them, practice them. Dedicate time, because time and talents always go together. Time and talents. And practice. While skills are acquired through learning and practice, talents are often seen as something that comes naturally. Now, time is the key word. And you know that time, talent, and treasure are basically the same thing. Many people do not realize this. It takes time to make treasure. It takes talent to make treasure. It takes time to have talent. So they are all connected. They are basically the same thing. You cannot have one without having the other. So it's very important. Now, here is something I'd like to share with you. How many hours is there in a week? 168. My brother knows. All right? So what do we do with it? We sleep 56 hours. Then we work 50, hopefully. Then we eat 10 hours to eat. Wow. Family and kids, only 14 hours. The Sabbath and church, 24 hours. By the way, Sabbath and church is supposed to be 24 hours. And do you still have a spare time left, 14 hours? How do you use your time and talents? Pay attention to, because some of you may say, wow. Now all the glory be to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish greater things. Things that we cannot even think about it, God can accomplish to us. That is Ephesians 3, verse 20, New Living Translation. Now, in all the work you are doing, work the best you can. This is our scripture for today. Work as if you were doing it for the Lord, not for people. Put honor in everything you do. Show dignity in every commitment that you make. Without character, there is no talent. The only reason you have talent, and the greatest, I should say this, let me rephrase, the greatest talent that anybody can accomplish in life is the character. Many people can say, I have talent, but I have no character. No, you have skills, but not talent. Talent is character. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use it, your gift, well. Do it well. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing more pleasant than when you do anything, than when you finish, you say, I couldn't have done any better. It doesn't matter if it takes me three times more. It doesn't matter how long it takes. The purpose of you doing something is to get it done. For with God, nothing will be impossible. How much will be impossible? Nothing. With God, nothing will be impossible. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Remember what the individual said? I was afraid. So what I did, instead of use all that energy to invest the money, I used all the energy to dig a hole. And you know what the problem when my uncle was used to be a builder, and one day he had this idea to make a well under a step, a very complicated place. And he didn't make any study. He just said, I want a well here. And we start digging. And there was rocks after rocks. It was so difficult. But he put me to do the digging. Believe me, I think it was one of the most difficult jobs that I had in my life. And I have done a lot of things in life. I have been a salesperson. I have been so many things. Since I was 7 years old, I have been working. So I have done so many things in my life. But digging a well, it was maybe the most challenge of them all. Because you don't have as much space, and you have to dig, and then you have to dig. Oh, it was killing. Now, abilities. Here is a picture that reflects a behavior, the do's and the don'ts. Two of them, this one, got five, and he immediately bring another five. The other one got two, immediately got another two. But the other one, he got too tired just to dig in a hole. And he went to sleep. That is five, two, and of course one. I should put there none, because he lost that one too, right? It was not really one, it's like. So the parable analyzed. All were given alike, same thing, according to their abilities. Two different results, even though they are given exactly the same thing, according to their abilities, one positive, one negative. If you continue reading Matthew 25, you see that Jesus Christ says when he comes back, he will separate the sheep from the goats. This is why it is. The goat is sleeping. The sheep are working. All were rewarded. Yes, we all going to be rewarded. Or either will be a positive or a negative. But the reward all of us will get. So the one who had five, he got five more plus one. Then the other one got two, a plus two. And the other one was one minus one. And those of you here likes math. What is one minus one? Nada. That's all. After a long time, the Lord returns. Yes, he does. And his will. There is more than 1,500 promises in the Bible that Jesus is coming. Is coming. You may say, oh, I have been a Seventh-day Adventist for more than 50 years. I always heard that Jesus is coming. Guess what? You have less excuse now, because now it's even closer than when you believe. So keep believing. Two of the servants are excited. Yeah, he is coming back. But have you noticed people sometimes in church, they are always scared of the last events? Oh, did you hear the Bishop of Rome just said that? The Lord, oh, have you noticed that a lot of people use fear as a motivation to talk about Jesus Christ's return? Every time I speak before a church about Jesus' return, I make a very conscious decision never to use fear as a motivating factor. Because if you're afraid, you're never going to see God. Let me repeat. If you are afraid, you're never going to see God. Only those that have faith instead of fear, they'll be able to see God. With faith, you will see him, but with fear, you are not going to be there. And this is what the parable is telling us. He was afraid, therefore, he did not love his Lord. He did not do his work. With this too, the Lord is pleased. But the third one, he was afraid. And what happens, what he accomplished by being afraid? Nothing. He was called the lazy one. One made excuses. Yes, when you are lazy, you always... Have you noticed that people that are lazy, actually they use a lot of energy. Sometimes they use more energy than those that are not... I don't know if you noticed, but people sometimes use so much thinking to justify their reasoning, you know, that make any sense what they are saying, and they go on and on. I had a member once that she said to me, Pastor, I used to lie, but I got myself so much in big trouble because my father always knew how to catch me lying. And I realized that my lies were getting me so much in trouble because once that I lie, I try to create another lie to cover that one, to protect that one. Then I create another one. And by the time I got a third or fourth lie, I couldn't remember what did I say first. And my father always caught me. So I realized that a lie was not productive. And I stopped lying. And life became so much easier for me, she said. And I remember, yes, it takes more energy to be negative than to be positive. Your muscles in your face work harder for you to be angry than for you to be lovely. When you have joy, you don't get wrinkles. But when you are angry all the time, oh, they crack. So, no excuses. Lord, I knew you are hard. Brothers and sisters, as a pastor, I'm trying very hard. Very hard indeed. To convey to those that God put under my responsibility. To know that a God is not a God that needs to be feared. There is no fear in those that loves God the way God loves us. Fear should never be the motivation for us to approach God because we will never be able to see him. It is love that attracts us to him, and his love attracts us to him. Nothing else. So if you don't see that God, maybe you do not know your Bible that well. And I invite everyone, because sometimes people say, but Pastor, there are some texts that are so difficult to understand. I said, take Jesus with you. Don't ever go to any part of the Bible unless you're holding hands with Jesus and says, come, great teacher, tell me what this means. And he will. When I start going to all parts of the Bible with Jesus, I start seeing a God that I have never met before. I see a God in the Bible now that is extremely attractive. I see a God right now that I wish to be every hour of my time of my life in his presence. I have no fear of him at all. My God is love, not destruction. My God is love, not hate. My God is compassionate. My God is forgiving. My God is all that I need. I hope you have him as well. And I was afraid, and fear has taken a lot of people away from God. The Lord's response, he rebukes the wicked and he rewards the faithful. It will be always like that, brothers and sisters. Consequences will come to those that choose not to trust in God. For to everyone who has, more will be given. Sometimes people don't realize the more you give, the more you keep. Let me repeat what I said. In life, the more you give, the more you will have. The people that are always poor are the people who has a poor attitude towards money, talent, and treasure. It is the poor attitude that makes poor people. And I mean it in a general sense, because there are all the circumstances in life that is different. Every rule has exceptions. So please understand I'm talking general. But I realize the more you give, the more you'll be blessed with more. God will trust you even with more. Remember, with diligence comes what? With negligence comes what? Consequence. It's a fact of life. You can apply this in every aspect of life, not only in religion, any aspect. Diligence comes reward. Negligence comes consequence. Please put that in clear in your mind. Remember, we must be prepared. We will certainly be productive. Prepared people are productive people. Unprepared people always have excuses. Always excuses. They spend more time preparing excuses than preparing to be productive. A faithful steward does what their master would do if he were present. That's a beautiful saying. Talents used are talents multiplied. Can you say this with me? Talents used are talents multiplied. We all like multiplication if they are good, right? We don't want multiplication of what is bad, but a multiplication of what is good we want. So talents used are talents multiplied. Success is not the result of change of our destiny. It is the outworking of what? God's own providence, the reward of faith and discretion, of virtue and persevering effort. That's what Ellen G. White wrote in Christ's Object Lessons, page 353. Have you seen a sign like this when you're driving? I'm not talking about the road, but you're driving your life throughout your plans, your objective. If you're a talent, every sign will say to you, opportunity ahead. But if you are lazy, you won't be able to see those signs. They'll be blur. You won't be able to tell. This is my prayer for you, my brothers and sisters, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, to use our talents to be productive. With God prepared in advance, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And this, in conclusion, is my prayer to all of you. I pray God will make you ready to obey Him. And that you will always be eager to do what is right. May Jesus help you to do what pleases God. To Jesus Christ be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless each one of you. Please don't be afraid of the do's, because God brings them in your life. You are to give you a purpose. Don't be afraid. And if you see some don'ts, don't be afraid of them either, because the Holy Spirit tells you this clear path in life. If He shows you this is the path, be committed, be courageous, take a step forward. God bless you. And when we all get to heaven, and we are, right?
Yes.
Are we marching to heaven? So let's get together.